Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Pittsburgh Steelers lost their worst game of the season to the 2-10 Cardinals, who are now 3-10, 24-10 in a bad loss at Acrisure Stadium. They now sit at 7-5, still in the playoff race. But what went so wrong when everything seemed like it should have gone so right? We'll explore that on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipato. As I said, we're both from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Find all our written work at post-gazette.com and get all of our shows from the Post-Gazette Sports, whether it's on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from all of our writers across the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And as always, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Whether you're in the North Shore to just take in a game, or you're just there to get a good time at a great bar, that's where Mike's Beer Bar comes in handy. It's right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street. They have over 20 televisions where you can even reserve tables with a game specified that you want to watch on a certain TV, whether it's college basketball, college football, NFL, NBA, NHL, whatever you want. You can get it right at Mike's Beer Bar. They have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those are local, and 80 of those local beers available on tap. More on Mike's later. Ray, Steelers fans are going to probably want to drink every one of those 500 beers after that loss to the Cardinals, because it was terrible. And there's no side that can feel good about this loss. Like, there's some of the losses this year for the Steelers, the defense can say, hey, we at least came in and did what we were supposed to do. Not when you allow 24 points and to the Cardinals. You allow over 150 yards after all of your rushing defensive performances showed that, hey, they might have turned the corner. They were shutting things down. James Conner goes for over 100, gets two touchdowns, and everything just looked like it fell apart. What led to, even special teams was bad. Miles Killebrew, who had been an ace for them for years, had three penalties in special teams. Chris Boswell missed a gimme field goal. What to you seemed like the reason for such a letdown performance in a game where, if they win that game, they're 8-4, they're tied with the Chiefs in a game back of the Ravens in the AFC North, which is also the one seed right now?
Yeah, I mean, just a big missed opportunity. And when you look at it, that game yesterday, Chris, it was everything. It was the totality of bad special teams, bad offense, bad defense, bad coaching. I cannot recall in all the years that I've been covering the Steelers a game where they played as bad as they did on Sunday. And especially when you put forth that type of performance at home against a reeling football team. So I don't know. You know, I thought the offense got off to a good start. Their inability to punch it in the end zone on that first drive maybe set the tone, but, you know, it was just more of the same for the offense. And then, you know, probably the most disappointing aspect in a lot of ways was, you know, the defense and giving up that 99 yard drive, right after you get stopped on the one. The Cardinals had four plays of 15 yards or more on that drive, mm-hmm. 5 for 5 on third down conversions. And, you know, to me, that just kind of set the tone for the rest of that football game. So, you know, more of the same from the offense, but I guess we've come to expect that. I guess the more surprising thing was the defense's inability to step up and, you know, make a play that, you know, would eventually get them back into that football game. That just never happened.
Yeah, that was the thing, was this team was supposed to at some point, you know, find a way to have someone stand up and make a play to get, like, I think that's been the biggest thing, is that the Steelers have had somebody kind of make the play that kind of wakes everyone else up, whether it's TJ Watt, whether it's been Cam Hayward, even before Landon Roberts, I think, make a lot of those plays. And certainly he wasn't available in this game, but there needed to be somebody. Minkah Fitzpatrick was back. Granted, he broke his hand. But there wasn't that moment where everyone could, where there was that one person or anybody who stepped up and said, hey, we're not going to let this happen today. And there's a lot of times you can point to it. And we'll definitely look at the defense. I want to look at the defense later, because not just third downs on that drive, but third downs overall were terrible for them. But let's go to the offense, because I think that's where everyone wants to kind of focus on right now, because that's where we always focus on with this team. Kenny Pickett was 7 of 10 for 70 yards in this game before he gets hurt. But yet again, he gets hurt. It's his other ankle that gets injured, because I think it was his right ankle this time, the left ankle the last time. And now he's in a walking boot, and our guy Jerry Dulac says that he's out for 2 to 4 weeks because he's getting surgery on Monday. And then Mitch Trubisky comes in. He goes 11 of 17 for 117 yards and a touchdown, and that looks nice on paper, but a lot of that came when the Steelers were down 24-10 or 24-3, and the Cardinals were just backing off because they're like, well, we don't need to do that much in this game. Ray, to me, I feel like a lot of the same problems that people heaped on Matt Canada's shoulders popped up again in this game, especially when it came to trying to find any rhythm offensively.
Yeah, listen, I thought Kenny was good on the first drive. I thought the play calling was good on the first drive. I thought they kept the Cardinals off balance. They kind of did some things against the grain, you know, when it comes to formation and stuff like that, kind of going against tendencies. And, you know, they went down there and they kicked a field goal. And then on the ensuing four drives when Kenny was healthy, it just wasn't good. You know, he had an illegal formation that wiped out a run. You know, I thought Kenny had a chance to take a deep shot with Pickens. He held the ball. You know, the play calling, the you know, throwing short of the sticks on that wide receiver screen to Deontay Johnson. I mean, it was just it was looking very much like it did before Matt Canada was fired. I guess we shouldn't be all that surprised. I think last week everything came together, you know, yards-wise. They still couldn't punch it in the end zone as often as they wanted to. But we're still dealing with the Matt Canada playbook. I mean, there's only so much that these coaches and players can do outside of the original concepts that were in Matt's playbook. So maybe people jumped to too many conclusions. Maybe people thought they turned a corner last week. I just think it's going to be a slog from here through the rest of the season. And if they make it into the postseason, they're going to have to win with defense and special teams. I don't think this offense is ever going to turn it around this year. I think they have to wipe the slate clean, rip up everything they're doing, and go in a different direction.
It certainly looks that way. I mean, again, like if there was momentum to be built, it was this game. They had 400 yards last week against the Bengals, just 16 points, but still, the 400 yards were what everyone was waiting for, and there was all the signs. And then again, you came out in this game, you started off hot, you were throwing the ball down the seams, and then it seems like one thing can derail this team, and it can be one thing from so many different directions. And if one thing goes bad, there's not enough other good things on the offense that can pick it up. Whereas like as the defense, I feel like there's games where if one thing goes bad, there's other elements of it that can pick itself up. But that's the problem with this offense. There's no way to galvanize and get through those tough moments. You know, Mason Cole misses a block on third down on the first drive of the game, and that kind of kills the first red zone possession, and they end up with 3 points. Then he has bad snaps all throughout the game that hurt them on other points, and there wasn't enough there. And then on top of this, you know, you get the run game going, and then you can't use it. You know, Najee Harris, 16 of 63 for 3.9 yards per carry. Jaylen Warren, 9 of 59 for 6.6. You know, both those guys were going, and I'd say a lot of those, like a lot of Najee Harris's negative yards came once the Cardinals realized, oh wait, they're not going to be able to throw the ball well right now. Let's get back to just crushing the line of scrimmage, and that kind of took away the space for that to happen. I feel that, you know, a lot of people on, hey, they should have been running the ball more. later in the game. But I feel like once the Steelers went down multiple scores, I feel like they knew that they needed to try to catch something, you know, off guard, to hit a big play or get something going in the passing game. And that led to not being able to run the ball. But when they had everything going their way, it seemed like they did not at least get the guys going in the ways that that have sparked the run game of late. And that was a big problem with this one. Like, for example, fourth and goal on the one, they try to, you know, hand up out of the shotgun behind Mason Cole. Mason Cole gets stood up and they can't get the 1 yard. But in my opinion, I'm like, look, if you're going to go up the middle, you got to QB sneak it. So you're just trying to get that 1 yard the easier way. Or you go behind, not Mason Cole, who's been one of your worst offensive linemen, but maybe run it behind Broderick Jones or someone else who you can say, hey, we're trusting this guy and maybe James Daniels, who've been really good offensive linemen for the Steelers, to at least win that spot. And that way Najee Harris isn't running into the back of offensive linemen who are getting blown up on the play.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought it was unimaginative, probably too predictable. I mean, sometimes in those situations, Chris, you have to give yourself an option, right? Maybe a quarterback rollout. You can run it. You could throw it. And, you know, maybe that was Mitch's first play and they just didn't feel comfortable doing that. But, you know, I thought the Cardinals, you know, really saw that coming. And I thought Mike Sullivan got away from the run too early. They were having a lot of success. I thought they could have taken the life out of that defense if they would have just hammered them earlier in the game. And instead they were trying to pass. And, you know, once the Cardinals recognized that they could bring pressure and that Kenny wouldn't recognize it and Kenny couldn't make any plays when he was pressured, then you saw them coming downhill in a lot of predictable running situations, you know, first and 10 coming downhill, linebackers not respecting anything else except the run. And really, after the first quarter, maybe quarter and a half, I thought the Cardinals defense did a pretty good job against the Steelers running game. So, you know, it just kind of got away from the Steelers pretty much in all aspects yesterday. But I think players and coaches were involved in that. You know, for as well and for as much praise as we heaped on Mike Sullivan in the first week, I didn't think his play calling was very good on Sunday.
Certainly, we'll talk about the defensive side of the ball and where the Steelers need to be going from here. Just a little bit more on the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. Chris Carter and Ray Fittipaldo talking with you on a Monday morning here. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Head down to the North Shore. And when you do, it's right on Federal Street across the street from PNC Park. Over 20 televisions to watch any sports game that you want. And when you get there, you can try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those being local beers and 80 of those local beers being available on tap. And they're all different kinds, whether you want a light beer, whether you want a stout, an IPA, porter. They even have all these different flavors of sour beer. So if you want to try something, this is the time to try it, especially with winter here. Things are getting colder. You can try all the Christmas beers that they're going to have available. And there are always new ones coming in every single week because they're updating the menu with new options from all around Western Pennsylvania and beyond. So go into Mike's Beer Bar today. It's the best experience you'll get for a bar. And you can also get great meals like their steak on a stone, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. Every time you cut off a piece, you press it into that stone and you choose how well done you want that piece of your steak every single time. It's such an amazing option. I'm telling you, you won't regret going there. Go to Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, and when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, breaking down the Steelers' terrible 24-10 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Ray, everything went wrong in this game, and that includes the defense. I did not think there was any way. I thought if the Cardinals found a way to win this game, it's because the Steelers turned the ball over a lot, and they had one turnover, and the Steelers' defense didn't create any, sure. But I thought it was because the offense kept putting the defense in bad spots, and they had short fields, and it was just like a quick score, you know, here on like a fluky play. But that's not what happened in this game. the Cardinals went 10 of 17, and really 10 of 16 because one of those third downs was a kneel down at the end of the game. So 10 of 16 on third downs. And I looked at that and I'm like, man, like that's the situational football that Mike Tomlin always talked about being needing to win. That's where I go back and I talk about, you know, them needing to be prepared for what the Cardinals were trying to do. And it looked like at some points they even were. They had a guy in the right spot, but they were just flopped down in the wrong situation, whether it was the touchdown allowed to Trey McBride, whether it was some of the runs that they had where Michael Walker or Mark Robinson were in position to make a play and they just didn't. And granted, those two guys are fourth and fifth stringers for a reason, I guess, but still, there were opportunities for this defense to make the plays that would have kept this game in check and given the offense a chance to respond and win, and they just didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you said 10 of 16, probably should have been 11 and 16. Rondell Moore on a third and 14 dropped. It would have been a walk-in touchdown, Chris. I mean, he dropped it at the five-yard line. He would have waltzed into the end zone. So I don't understand. And, you know, Terrell Austin talked about this on Thursday. And it's been a season-long problem. He obviously doesn't have the answers because he kind of threw his arms up on Thursday when he was being interviewed about it. They cannot stop the big plays this year. And, I know we're talking about a play that was eventually an incomplete pass, but I think it's really a symptom of what's ailed them all season. You know, you used to – when the Steelers would have third and seven or more, you really felt like they were going to step up and maybe get a sack or a turnover. Now when it's third or seven and more or more, I don't have any confidence that they're going to make a stop because there's so many holes – in that defense, and they're attacked so easily. Quarterbacks sit back there, have plenty of time to make plays. I mean, it's I'm sure it's frustrating for them because I know it's frustrating for fans to sit back and watch that defense play the way it has, on third downs this year. So, you know, for as well as they've done pressuring quarterbacks and creating turnovers, the big plays against have been an issue all season, and they were certainly an issue against the Cardinals on Sunday.
And that's something to look at there because, you know, you look at the Steelers and the way that they've been there because you know, their third down defense right now this year, it's like very much in the middle part of the league. They're allowing 40% conversions on third downs. And it's been such a mixed bag because they've had games where they've looked pretty good on third downs. I mean, just last week, the Bengals were 2 of 10 on third downs, and that was a huge part of them being able to get that win. You know, you go back, even their loss to the Browns were 4 of 17 on third downs. So, you know, they found ways. And I mean, heck, I got to say that, you know, their win over the Packers looks that much more impressive with the Packers, the way they were able to beat up on the Chiefs on Sunday night. And they're the only team in the last 6 weeks to beat, or the last 5 weeks to beat the Packers. So like they've had their ups and their up moments, but this was just a complete down moment for the Steelers defense. And that's where I think people need to find answers. I certainly think part of it is, you know, one thing that people don't talk about enough when it comes to football is communication. And the linebacker position being key to that, especially trying to get information across and get checks and adjustments across to everyone across the board. And I've said this before, but the reason why Mark Robinson doesn't get more reps is because I don't think he's good at that part of the game. And when he was in there, that's where you saw a lot of the miscues happen. Because when Landon Roberts was in, the defense, they were doing what they were supposed to do. They were stuffing the run. They were in the right places. They were coming from the right angles. They were limiting the passing game. And then as soon as he went out, that's when a lot of the breakdowns started to happen. And I thought, like, Michael Walker, 10 tackles, he was able to help in that regard. He was at least able to, like, you know, be, he can be a solid, like, backup that comes up and makes number two linebacker plays. But they need somebody in the middle of that defense who can at least coordinate things and at least be a veteran who can keep things on the same page. Landon Roberts was that. They were hoping Cole Holcomb could be that. They were hoping Quan Alexander could be that. All three of those guys were gone. I think that was a huge problem that they could not find a way to address. And I think it's something that the Steelers need to find an answer for right away. If Landon Roberts can't get back for Thursday Night Football against the Patriots, they're going to be in the same spot, and they don't have anyone on the roster. They have Miles Jack, who they brought back, but he just got back, and he was on the couch recently. They had the other guy that they recently just signed, who was a healthy scratch in this game. And now you're wondering, what do you do here? at linebacker, which has been a key part of why the Steelers have been so much better against the run this year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that there are communication issues or that, you know, the Kyler Murray was picking on Michael Walker in coverage yesterday. I mean, you saw what the Cardinals were doing with their tight ends. You know, it was just an issue. Michael Walker, for having 10 tackles, he also missed a tackle on that 19-yard run, you know, on that two-minute drive right before halftime when they had that 15-play, 99-yard drive. So, listen, Michael Walker wasn't even on this team in October, Chris.
Yeah.
Mark Robinson, they did everything they could to keep him off the field up until Sunday. You know, I guess if you want to look on the bright side, Blake Martinez has been here for 2 weeks now. He was a healthy scratch yesterday. I guess he was a healthy scratch because he doesn't play special teams at this point in his career, but I'm sure he'll be up on Thursday, you know, with Roberts having a soft tissue injury on a short week. There's no way he's going to play. So I would imagine it's going to be Blake Martinez and Michael Walker. And since Blake Martinez is more of a veteran, maybe he'll be the hub of communication instead of Walker. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but they've just been decimated by injuries at that position. And, you know, I think it's probably inevitable that there are going to be communication issues and really performance issues, because like I said, those guys were either practice squad or special teams players until they were hit by all these injuries.
Yeah, I think that there's certainly there. I mean, you even saw guys like T.J. Watt stepping in on special teams and then getting hurt on special teams because they were just running out of bodies there. And that's something that I think has certainly become a problem for the Steelers and something that's certainly playing a factor into it. But even when you are, you need guys to find – again, this is where I go back to my original point. You need guys to find a way to step up. You needed somebody to say, hey, not on my watch. This is the game that, you know, Alex Highsmith, they paid him the money. He got 1.5 sacks in this game, but they needed him to be someone that could step up in the right moments. You needed Minkah Fitzpatrick, Devontae KZ, someone to be the guy to be like, hey guys, not this week. We got to find a way to keep it together and hold that line. And that didn't happen this game. And without that happening in this game, doesn't mean that this whole season is doomed, but it opens up big questions about how resilient can this team be. I think they've been resilient at different parts of this season, but again, you're sitting at 7-5. You're still in a dogged wild card fight, and you got some key games. Now these are key games coming up. They could have afforded to drop one of these last five games here and still been in a good position. Now you're in a position where you don't have to win all of them, because you win all of them, and you're probably winning the division at 12-5. But if you lose three of them, you risk putting yourself in a position to miss the playoffs yet again with a 9-8 season. That's where that's where the Steelers could be if they don't handle their business. And I want to talk with Ray more about what actually does need to happen in these final weeks for the Steelers moving forward, because there seems like a lack of direction right now that is trending upwards for either unit on this team. We'll talk about that and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. But first, we'll remind you this show is brought to you by Savinus Cain and Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers who have over 85 years of experience. Just give them a call now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Cain and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful, because GameTime is the app that's fast and easy to download right to your phone, and then it makes it fast and easy to buy tickets for all the favorite events that you'll want to go to, whether it's sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. If you ever had to buy tickets for an event and you're running behind, you're looking for scalpers on the street to give you great deals, well, oftentimes you can get scammed, because scalpers sometimes have fake tickets. Sometimes they have the worst tickets with the worst views. And sometimes you feel like you overpaid for what you're buying on the street. That's where Game Time comes in to help you, because Game Time will always get you the best prices, and they'll always get you a chance to see what the actual view is from your seat, so you're not getting scammed out of your money. Download the Game Time app right from your phone today. And if next time that you're running late to an event, or you haven't gotten tickets for a big event that you're going to, you can use Game Time, look up the best prices, pick your seat, and have it ready to go right on your phone when you walk into the arena. And the Game Time app with the best price guarantee allows you to see that, hey, if you find tickets for the same section or row for less somewhere else, Game Time credits you 110% of the difference. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account, redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guarantee.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal.
Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato. We're talking all things Steelers here after this. Now, here's the thing, Ray. After that loss, I look at the Steelers' positioning. It's a bad loss. This is not excusing the loss of it in any way. But they still are sitting in the 5 seed of the AFC playoff race, as both the Browns lost, and now the Colts did the Texans won, and the Colts won, so they're both at 7-5. They've now caught the Steelers, but due to tiebreakers, the Steelers still hold on to the 5 seed, and they still have everything in front of them. They face a bad Patriots team at home this upcoming week. It makes that road game against the Colts vital in 2 weeks. Then they get the Bengals at home, and then they have their on the road against the Seahawks, who haven't looked great this year, and then they get their rematch with the Ravens in week 18 on the road there. I look at this team and I say, hey, everything's still in front of them, but this was their chance to show that they could be a consistent team this year. And there were times where, hey, the Steelers looked like they were putting things together. They were able to get some wins that kind of gave them a chance to kind of look better at times. You know, there was a period where they had won 4 out of 5 against the Ravens, Rams, Titans, and Packers, and lost 1 to the Jaguars, where you could see that everything was looking good. But now you've lost 2 out of your last 3 and to teams that weren't that impressive. The Browns with a really good defense, but with a rookie quarterback, and then the Cardinals with one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. And now you're kind of sitting at a place where they got to choose what team they want to be. They have to prove what team they want to be. And if they don't, this team risks of falling apart. And that would be the first time I think that Mike Tomlin has truly lost a locker room. Because, you know, when people talk about losing locker rooms, I'm like, okay, but I've seen teams actually lose locker rooms. Like when there's a 4-win season and guys are just giving up all over the place. The Steelers have always at least fought. And that's why when people talk about no losing seasons for Mike Tomlin, that's a sign that, hey, even when things are going bad, like when you have Duck Hodges at quarterback, the Steelers find a way to be competitive. But this is a situation where, and several times of those years, they found a way to push through, get the wins necessary to keep them above that Mendoza line and say, hey, let's get to the point where we need to be so that we can keep our core together and keep pushing and have something to look forward to next year. What's the biggest thing the Steelers need to do to have something like that in the final 5 games of the season?
Yeah, Chris. I mean, one more thing about the playoff picture. I guess the only saving grace about that loss is that it came to an NFC team.
Yes.
And that's, you know, tiebreakers and all that stuff, conference record. That's the only good thing about what transpired yesterday. To me, you know, with Mitch Trubisky starting, I would say at least the next 2 games and likely more, they have to go back to their formula where you lean on your defense and you just control the offense. You don't want to turn the ball over. And that's going to be especially the case on Thursday. I mean, say whatever you want about the Patriots, but they're being ridiculed because of their offense. Their defense is actually pretty darn good. Yeah. It's kind of like they have the worst offense in the league and maybe, you know, a top 5, top 7 defense. So this game on Thursday, if the Steelers turn the ball over or if they get crappy punting again, they're going to have some issues because all the Patriots have to do is maybe score 9 or 12 points to win that game on Thursday.
Yep.
The way it's going for the Steelers offense. So count on your defense. Do something about the punting, you know, try to play the special teams game. That's another issue, Chris. All the hidden yardage and special teams, you know, that Gillikin, the Cardinals punter, I mean, he was excellent. He set the Cardinals up with good field position all day, and the Steelers never had that because Presley Harvin was just so inconsistent. So,
That's not new.
Yeah, I mean, I know what the formula is, but I don't really have any – real confidence that the Steelers can execute it. Unless we go back to like week 2 and defense is scoring touchdowns, and that's how they're going to win games. But they just have to lean on their defense and play mistake-free football on offense. And I think they'll be in that game Thursday night. But, you know, once again, you have to find ways to score points and win it at the end too. And, you know, the Steelers have been very inconsistent in that vein all season.
And to your point about the Patriots, well, someone might look at their total points on the year, and they've given up 21.2 points per game. That's 16th. The Steelers are still sixth in the NFL with 19.1. But the Patriots are on a historic run, and it's not historically great for the whole team, but for the defense, they have allowed 10 or less points in three straight games, Ray. The problem is they've lost all three of those games. That hasn't happened to a team since 1948. That is where the Patriots and that, but that's where I think the Patriots and the Steelers, it's going to be two teams that are trying to win very similar ways, probably in this game, where both teams are going to be looking to play mistake-free football on offense and dominate on defense. And the question will be, who can be the team, who can be the player, who can be the team that sets the tone first with a big defensive play? And, you know, you could look at the Steelers offense and say, like, man, what chance do they have? But you look at the Patriots offense, they don't even know who their quarterback's going to be for this game. And Steelers at least have the advantage of that with Mitch Trubisky. And I feel like Mitch Trubisky, he's been in these situations before. Late last year, they needed him to play, I believe it was against the Panthers. And they had a game where very similarly, it was on the road. He came in, did just enough and allowed the rest of the team to kind of do what they do. He can fit that format. That's how they beat the Bengals last year. But you need that defense to get back to being dominant. And like you said, you can't give up third downs in key situations. You have to get back to getting in the backfield regularly. You have to create turnovers, and you can't give up the big plays. And that's where if the Steelers do that to the Patriots, all of a sudden they'll be 7-6 after blowing two huge home games to teams that they absolutely should have been crushing. And they're in a position where they've kind of fumbled the bag on their way to having a chance. I mean, Ray, if they handle their business, I keep pointing this out to people to show, like, I'm not saying that they are the caliber of being the best in the NFL, but if they had handled their business and beaten the Browns with a touchdown or any points on any of their 7 second half drives after Jalen Warren's touchdown against the Browns, and they beat the Cardinals this week against a very beatable team, they'd be 9-3 right now and tied with the Ravens for the one seed. And in fact, they'd have the one seed because they'd have the tiebreaker over the Ravens. Now, tonight, the Jaguars play, and I expect them to beat the Bengals, and then that would propel the Jaguars ahead of them. But that's the opportunity that's been missed by just winning these very winnable games. And that's where, again, this comes back down to, can Mike Tomlin get this team to beat the beatable teams that are right in front of them? Because these are not world beaters the Steelers are facing. That shows me this is not about as much as the team that they're facing. It's about the Steelers not beating themselves.
And on a short week, Chris, when you lose to an inferior opponent the way they did, and, you know, Micah Fitzpatrick said after the game, that's a team that we should beat by a lot of points. You know, doubt is creeping into their minds. I mean, you know, even though the defense had a bad game on Sunday, you know, the defense deep down, and they're not going to say this to us, but deep down they're thinking offense isn't going to do it, guys. Right. I mean, that's, you know, that's how they feel. So Mike Tomlin has to find a way to turn it around. And I haven't looked at this stat recently, but last time I looked at it, Steelers were one of the worst teams in the league. First quarter, first half scoring. I mean, it's abysmal. And when you play decent football early and you don't get points or you don't have a lead commensurate with the way you played, it just sets a bad tone for your football team. So Mike's got to do something here in these next 3 days to make sure the team gets off to a better start. And we're talking about the offense here. He's got to find a way to get the offense in sync and in rhythm where they're scoring touchdowns early in games and not settling for field goals or not scoring at all. To me, that's the number one issue they have to fix. And it's going to be tough on a short week, but we'll see if he can do it.
The Steelers currently, to your point, rank 30th in the NFL with 6.5 first half points per game. That is just ahead of the New England Patriots, who have 5.8. Cool. So, Ray, we're in for a great game Thursday night. It's going to be a baseball score, and this is going to be as miserable as that Bears Vikings game that everyone was complaining about last Monday.
Amazon ought to put this game in like grainy black and white. make it look like the 1940s, because that's what we're going to see.
That is the football we're due for. We'll keep you covered here on the North Shore Drive podcast from Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mike Tomlin talks on Monday because it's a short week with the Thursday. So stay tuned for that. We'll have our guys at the facility covering all things there. We'll talk to players as well on Monday. And then, of course, getting you ready all throughout the week for the short week against the New England Patriots, a key game for the Steelers to stay in the playoff race. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, we'll keep you covered here on the North Shore Drive podcast all season long. Check out our work on the North Shore Drive podcast on your favorite app, your podcasting app that you can download right to your phone, as well as on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of your daily episodes on all things Pittsburgh sports from all of our different writers. We'll be back Wednesday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, thanks for riding with us. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.